Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H1 FY25 earnings conference call of Vaidyasani Ayurved Laboratories Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. The statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Rohit Madhav Sane, Chairman and Managing Director from Vaidyasani Ayurved Laboratories Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Neha. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Vaidyasani Ayurved Laboratories earning call for the financial year ended September 30th, 2024. I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to all of you taking the time to join us today. I have with me on call today Dr. Vidyut Bipin Kag, the whole-time director, Mr. Shripad Upasani, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Yogesh Walawalkar, our Senior Vice President, Marketing and Corporate Relationships, Mr. Narendra Pawar, our Chief Financial Officer, and Adfactors PR and our Investor Relations team. We have shared our results update presentation, and I hope you all must have received it. Talking about Vaidyasani Laboratories, Vaidyasani Laboratories works under the brand name Madhavbag. Madhavbag is a unique medical service institution which blends traditional medicine system with modern diagnostic techniques. We have more than a decade of expertise in disease reversal treatments for diabetes, blood pressure, heart disease, post-angioplasty, post-bypass surgery, as well as pre-angioplasty, pre-bypass surgery and obesity. Such kind of non-communicable chronic disorders treat with the help of Ayurveda and lifestyle modification treatments. Founded in 2006 with a vision to reduce the mortality and morbidity due to the heart diseases and lifestyle disorders. Our approach to treatment using non-invasive, multidisciplinary and innovative therapies has helped establish Vaidyasani as a dependable option for treating the chronic ailments. We provide healthcare services through Ayurvedic Cardiac Rehabilitation Centers. As on September 30th, 2024, the company operates about 350 clinics across Jammu, Kashmir, Punjab, Haryana, Uttarakhand, Delhi, NCR, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Gujarat, West Bengal, Orissa, Goa, Karnataka and Chhattisgarh. Out of these, 33 are company-owned, 63 are OPD centers and mini-clinics, and 254 are franchise clinics. We also operate 3 cardiac prevention and rehabilitation hospitals in Khopoli, Nagpur and Vishakhapatnam respectively. We empaneled with more than about 5 TPA and 5 insurance companies to offer cashless facility at our Khopoli hospital. I am excited to share with you several significant achievements and developments from the past year that demonstrate our continued growth, innovation and commitment to providing effective healthcare solutions. I am pleased to announce the appointment of Ms. Sapna Vaishnav as the company secretary and compliance officer, the key managerial person of Madhavbag, effective 17th August 2024. Ms. Sapna Vaishnav brings with her a wealth of experience in corporate governance, compliance and legal affairs. And we are confident that her expertise will be instrumental in strengthening our internal controls, enhancing regulatory compliance and supporting the continued growth of the organization. I am also proud to highlight the success of our nationwide campaign titled Azadi Diabetes Se, which was launched in August, recognized as the month of Azadi from Diabetes. The campaign aimed to raise awareness about the potential to reverse type 2 diabetes through holistic Ayurvedic treatments. A key feature of this initiative was the Mega Glucose Tolerance Test event, which took place across more than 90 Madhavbag clinics in states including Maharashtra, Karnataka, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Delhi, Belgaum, and so on. Over 200 type 2 diabetes patients who have successfully achieved normal blood glucose levels without relying on allopathic medications participated in this event and undergoing our chronic disease care therapy. In addition to the GTT event, our clinics nationwide conducted a series of informational sessions, pre-health assessments and consultation with diabetes experts, further reinforcing our commitment to providing sustainable Ayurvedic solutions to those affected by diabetes. This campaign has been a significant milestone in our mission to transform diabetes care and empower patients to take control of their health. We recently participated in the Ayush Medical Value Travel Summit, where I had the honor of being part of an esteemed panel discussion on expanding frontiers, opportunities in Ayush and integrated medical value travel. This summit brought together thought leaders and experts from the wellness and Ayush sectors to explore the future of integrated healthcare. During the session, I had the opportunity to highlight Madhubag's unique approach, which blends traditional Ayurvedic practices with modern medical technology to offer effective, sustainable solutions, especially in non-invasive cardiology and lifestyle-related disorders. Our participation to this summit reaffirms our commitment to providing world-class holistic healthcare to both domestic and international patients and underscores the growing role of Ayurveda in global medical value travel landscape. Looking ahead, we are planning to expand our hospital network is the key focus for several reasons. Firstly, our hospitals are now NABH approved and backed by insurance, allowing us to offer cashless treatment options to our patients. With full NABH accreditation, we are also preparing to become empaneled with the CGHS, enabling central government employees to receive treatment covered by the government. This makes our hospital model even more attractive. As we look to expand, we plan to increase capacity at our Khopoli Hospital, adding 100 more beds over the next 12 to 18 months in phases. Similarly, our Nagpur Hospital, which currently has about 20 beds, will see an additional 20 beds in the next 12 to 18 months. Our long-term vision includes adding more 10 hospitals. However, instead of investing in new infrastructure, we'll plan to acquire existing hospitals or resorts and convert them into Madhubag facilities, thus adopting a franchise-like model for growth. Looking for future hospitals in North India, Gujarat and few in the South of India also. By 2030, we aim to establish about 1,000 clinics, 10 hospitals and 5,000 outpatient departments, particularly focusing on rural areas throughout India. Additionally, through our Institute of Preventive Cardiology, we are committed to train about 10,000 Ayurvedic physicians who will contribute to our growing network and help us continue to lead in the field of preventive healthcare. Together, we are on the path of transformation and I look forward to the continued success and growth of Madhubag in the years to come. In conclusion, this has been a year of remarkable growth and expansion for Vaidyasane Ayurveda Laboratories. Our dedication to integrating time-honored Ayurvedic principles with modern research and technologies, delivering meaningful results and unlocking new avenues of progress. We remain steadfast in our mission to provide effective, holistic healthcare solutions that positively impact the lives of our patients. We deeply appreciate our continued support and confidence in our vision. As we move forward, we look forward to sharing more updates on our continued growth and success. Speaking about the overall industry, the Ayush sector in India has witnessed significant growth in recent years, emerging as a prominent domain in terms of revenue and employment. Ayush encompasses traditional symptoms of medicine such as Ayurveda, Yoga, Yunani, Siddha and Homeopathy. The sector includes clinics, wellness sectors, research, herbal products, education and holistic health practices. India's Ayush sector is rapidly expanding, supported by increasing awareness, demand for natural therapies and government initiatives to promote traditional medicine systems. The Ayush sector has experienced significant growth and is on track to achieve the valuation of US$70 billion for the Ayush-based healthcare and wellness sector by the year 2025. In March 2024, Union Minister of Health and Family Welfare, Dr. Mansukh Mandavia, launched the Ayush ICMR Advanced Center for Integrated Health Research at the AIIMS, emphasizing the importance of collaborative research in bridging traditional Ayush knowledge with modern scientific practices. The initiative aims to advance integrative health research, integrating Ayush practices with modern medicine. Innovative formulations such as Ayush 64 has exhibited promising prospects in the management of various health conditions, heralding a new era of potential breakthroughs in healthcare. From a modest count of 334 colleges in 2014, the number has substantially now increased to an impressive total of 1,137 colleges as on the current year. This exponential growth underscores the burgeoning interest and recognition accorded to Ayush disciplines, reflecting a robust expansion and diversification within the educational infrastructure supporting Ayush studies. Now, coming to our financial performance, half year H1 FY25, revenue from operations for H1 FY25 is 41.80 crore as against 51.10 crore in H1 FY24. Year-on-year decrease of 18.20%, while the EBITDA, excluding other income, was 5.76 crore in H1 FY25 as against 2.68 crore in the year FY24 H1. Increase of 115% on account of decrease in employee cost and other expenses. Profit after tax was 3.26 crore in this H1 FY25 as against 1.18 crore in H1 FY24. The basic EPS stood at rupees 3.59 in H1 FY25. This is all from our side, and we can now take questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Utkarsh Jain from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, I am Utkarsh Jain from Sequent Investments. So, yes, my question was regarding the marketing campaign that we had started last half year. So, despite the marketing campaign, why are we not seeing an increase in sales per se?
Yes. Yes. Pushkar, I am sure about... Why are you asking this question? We have tried to optimize the marketing campaign with various different ideas. We haven't still figured out the complete option, but in next about a month or so, we'll be able to figure out the actual campaign, and then we'll be starting with the actual campaign that we are looking out for. I wanted to keep the complete communication very clear. Hence, the marketing campaign that we have started is just for the new football to preserve whatever we had. But the actual plans that we are on will be actually seen in this next coming, say, about 10-15 days itself.
Okay, okay. And sir, what is the revenue guidance that we are looking at for full year?
I'll be looking at a conservative figure. How much, whatever we were in the last year, we'll be looking out for the same revenue with better EBITDA as compared to the last year.
Okay, sir. And can you update on the capex plan that we are planning on hospitals, like in Kopoli we are planning an addition to beds, right? So any update on that?
Yes. So as of now, the permissions from the government authorities is still pending. Maybe about a month or so would be required for that. But till then, what have we seen is the basic plan that we have looked out is... The land besides the Kopoli Hospital, we are trying to get that permission on this land, and we'll be building about 80 more beds on this land, in which we will not be building it at a stroke directly, but we'll be going with about 20 to 40 beds at a time. And this would cost us somewhere about, say, 8 to 10 crore rupees. As we go ahead, but majorly I think the acquisition would be internally itself.
So the acquisition will be funded by the preferential allotment that we have done?
Yes, most probably yes.
Okay, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Keshav from PHFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much, sir, for giving me the opportunity to ask questions. So you have very broadly mentioned that it is employee cost coming down which has led to a rise in profitability. So what are the other measures we have undertaken so that the profits have gone up? And can the sales for this quarter, half year is around 41 crores. So what are you projecting as sales for the full year? And what can we look at in terms of numbers for the full year? Are we looking at a 15% EBITDA margin which will sustain going forward? Second question, this is question number one. Give us some projection of sales for the full year and what are the steps, how has the profitability gone up besides the decrease in employee cost? Question number two is, hospital business is a cash cow. So what steps are we taking so that can give us some clarity on what is the way for the hospital business going forward, how are we growing? And the third question is on the FMCG business. Can you give us some clue on what is happening in Madhav Prash? Madhav Prash is like, I think, becoming a household name. What is happening in the FMCG business? What are you doing about it? Can you give us some clue on these three questions I have?
Sure. So thank you, Keshav, for asking this question. About the turnover, as I just spoke, this whole year I'll be looking at a conservative figure of the same turnover that was there in the last year. So that is our conservative proposition as of now. While the EBITDA margins that you asked about, yes, we'll be planning to keep it to where we are right now. I am sure that keeping that EBITDA margin towards that level should not be so difficult. Now, how have we reached over here is obviously the reduction in HR cost has helped us, as well as last year the online sales that we had done, which had resulted into higher COGS. Now in this year, we haven't gone for those kind of online sales through Vaidyasane, and hence the COGS has also seen a good optimization in over here. As well, the other expenses that we had were in the professional fees, which were about more than 9% in the last year, that has reduced down to 7%. And with the growth in the revenue, the professional fees will still drop down below 7%. That is how the total expenditure control has helped to improve the EBITDA and the profit margins. Talking about the question about hospital business, yes, we are looking out to expand the hospital business as just what I explained. Now we are full NABH for our hospital, and in that case we will be going for CGHS empanelment, wherein we will be having a direct correlation for the central government health scheme, and due to which we'll be having much more number of patients acquired for the hospital itself. And hence, we'll be increasing the hospital infrastructure as we go ahead in next 12 to 18 months. And this increase in the total infrastructure for the hospital, we'll be able to accommodate the CGHS patients also. So as well for the Kondari Hospital, we are also planning to increase more 20 beds in the Kondari Nagpur Hospital in next 12 to 18 months. That will also help us to get in, because that is also NABH approved now, and the insurance companies, the tie-up has also begun for that hospital also. So going ahead, we'll be also looking out for various other hospitals in various different geographies. And majorly, we'll be looking out for ready infrastructure, where we'll be directly a plug-and-play model. That will give us a good hospital bed acquisition, which will help us to increase our revenues in the future.
I got it. So my follow-up on the first question is, so can we assume a sales figure of around a turnover of around 100 crores for the current year and 15% EBITDA margin, which would account to 15 crores EBITDA and around 7 to 8 crores of PAT for the full year? Is that a fair assumption to make,
sir? Yes, 97 to 100 crore is what we are looking out for.
Okay.
With the same EBITDA margins that we have achieved.
So we can assume that 2.3 crores ka jo PAT hai, that can easily go to 7 to 8 crores for the full year.
Seems so.
Okay. Thank you. And can you give us some clarity on the FMCG business, sir? What are we looking at over here?
Yes. So in last say about 6 months, we have achieved to sell about 13,000 Madhavprash online, and that is through a subsidiary that is Dynamics, the company that we have, the manufacturing company. So that manufacturing company has its own online marketing division, which is trying to market Madhavprash online. And in last say about 6 months, we have sold somewhere more than about 13,000 units. And we are going conservative over there because the COGS shouldn't increase over there itself. So that is what the plan is about. So the marketing cost keeping in control, we are trying to flare up the marketing. And in the coming 6 months, we aim to have double number of Madhavprash being sold in this, and due to which we are getting good amount of inquiries from the actual retail units also, who want to have that Madhavprash with their units. So gradually the FMCG kind of retail availability will also increase, but we are, as usual, we are concentrating on the online division as of now, because we are available on Tata 1NG, we are available on all the online shops, Flipkart as well as Amazon. Now the online availability of Madhavprash is quite good as compared to the earlier condition, and that will help us to boost up the sales as we go ahead.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my end. I just want to add as a note that it's basically a 700% jump in profit is what we are looking at for the full year. Last year, we did a profit of 96.99 lakhs. And this year, if you're looking at 7 crores plus, it's a 700% jump, 7x jump. Thank you so much. That's all from my end, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, the first question is, before I actually ask my question, I just wanted, if you can just refresh, what is the extent of dilution on this preferential conversion and when it will happen?
Can you ask your question again? Your voice was cracking.
Yes, sir. What is the extent of dilution that will happen on conversion of preference shares, and when are the 18 months coming to an end?
Acha. About the preferential shares that I'll be subscribing to, the total dilution, I am not completely sure with the typical figures, but I'll be able to give you as soon as I get those typical with decimals. But
approximate is yes. Fine.
On a gross level, if at all we see, it should be lesser than 5%. The status of that is I am still in a process of having the funds ready for my subscriptions. So maybe in a month or so, I should be finalizing the whole things. I am looking positively towards it.
Okay. Because it's more than 12 months, right? So it's
yes.
Closer to the 18 months.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it's less than 5. It's yes. Less than 5% is the dilution. Okay.
Yes.
The second question is, between hospital, clinic, and FMCG model, which is the one you would be more keen to focus on for next, given their size, which is more keen that you, which is where you want to focus on? Because
hospital.
Trying to focus on everything is probably not the right time.
Very true. Very true. So we'll be focusing majorly on the hospitals, because the EBITDA margin of hospitals is quite strong as compared to others. So hospital concentration would be the first priority. Second would be the clinics. And third is going to be the FMCG, because FMCG is going to take its own time. It's not going to be overnight as such. So we'll be having a gradual and say about 10 to 15, 20% of concentration on the FMCG. 50 to 60% of concentration would be on the hospitals, and remaining would be on the clinics.
So if you can just help us understand how are you looking to add the number of beds, and what is the key challenge? Because some of the other Ayurveda companies are also expanding at a much faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And are you looking in which states? Are you looking at concentration of your hospitals in terms of location?
Yes, as of now, if at all we see, the major kind of expansion in this year is going to be with the Khopoli Hospital and the existing Nagpur Hospital, where we already have still more space with us. That is the first thing. Second, we'll be planning to expand ourselves in Gujarat and the North India because we already have our branding and marketing activities being done over there. So that will also help the hospitals to grow over there. So major expansion would be happening in the North India as well as in the Gujarat.
In terms of number of beds that you're looking to add at aggregate level,
As of now, in next 12 to 18 months, we'll be looking out for about 40 to 60 beds to be added in Khopoli Hospital and the Kondhari Hospital. But about other hospital expansion, we are right now, I am trying to consolidate and concentrate on the whole messaging and the total marketing strategy that we are looking out for. So about 6 to 8 months, I'll be not looking out to open up a new hospital as of now. But the existing hospitals, I'll like to always have more beds into it, and that is what we are going on with. But in the coming next year, I'll be much more aggressive with the number of beds.
And sir, if I can just ask, what is per day per bed realization broadly at existing Khopoli Kondhari or the other three locations where we have the hospitals?
Yes. Per day per bed realization is about 8 to 10,000 rupees.
Okay.
Per day per bed.
Okay. And you also indicated that you are looking at a franchisee model in hospital. Did I understand you correctly?
Yes.
Any specific reason for, and when it's a franchisee, what do you mean, if you can explain? A typical franchisee model, or there is something else in your mind?
No, this will be called as a franchise model, but it would be a bit different as compared to the clinic franchisee. We have both the options open, in which there are few doctors who are in talking terms with us for Madhya Pradesh and all other sections, where they are, they used to work with Madhavag and they would like to start the hospital at their own places where they have their own infrastructure built. They wanted the brand of Madhavag along with them, and that is where the conversation is going on. So that is one kind of franchise, but rest of the franchise would be related to rental as well as the infrastructure renovation and the acquisition of the infrastructure. That would be the franchise model that I'm looking out for.
I hope this answers your question, Chirag. Mr. Chirag, I hope this answers your question. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sachin Sodhi from Luke Estate Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm audible?
Yes, Sachin.
Yeah, thanks, Rohit ji, for the call. Almost all questions has been answered. My point, at least to see, sir, can you explain about how you see Ayushman covered this Ayurvedic in their scheme?
Yes.
And how well you prepared for this? Because I'm sorry for the number of beds you are talking. I think, is it enough to grow along with the pace? Please.
Yes, I'll try to specify. Ayushman Bharat, the scheme is supposed to be launched yet. It's about 50 to 70 different packages that the government is going to have in its own kitty related to Ayurvedic treatments. And obviously, yes, as soon as the Ayushman Bharat is done, there would be a huge surge in the number of patients who can be treated actually. So that is one. Second, if we talk about how are we equipping ourselves for Ayushman Bharat? Ayushman Bharat would need NABH accredited hospitals. That's what we are as of now. We have the land acquired with us. We have all the basic necessities that we need to grow up with. And coming up with an infrastructure with the prefabricated thing is also not going to be a difficult job as well. The existing model that we have with our hospitals, in which we usually accommodate in our hospital every individual room, there is only one patient accommodated every room. So even though the demand with Ayushman Bharat increases, we will be able to accommodate two patients in that single room, and the same occupancy can be increased 50% or 60% more than what we have as of now. As well as when we talk about the clinics, we are as of now utilizing about 45 to 50% of the clinic slots that we have in these 350 clinics. So there is a huge amount of space where we can accommodate inside the clinic as well. The clinic timings are about 10 to 7. If required, we can even expand the clinic timings. So as of now, whatever infrastructure we have, that is good enough to accommodate three times of more patients what we accommodate as of now. As well, along with that, when we go ahead, as of now, if at all you see, the clinic model as well as the hospital model is too strong, so that none of the franchise have been said to be leaving us. That is because the model that has been formed with the Ayurvedic doctor being the franchise owner, that is too strong. And that is how the growth will be happening in the future. So I am quite strong and confident about it, that once the Ayushman Bharat is open for actual Ayurveda patients, I think we are in a good position to accommodate those patients. And about the growth, as I just explained, with the number of beds that will be increasing, but the occupancy and the capacity of patients that can be accommodated will be increasing in the same proportion as I spoke about.
Thank you. Thank you, Rohit.
Thank you,
Sachin. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj from Rajni Enterprises. Please go ahead. Mr. Manoj, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Mr. Manoj? Mr. Manoj, your line has been
Hello.
Unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, Manoj.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So basically, just wanted to know, like, what is the exact impact of the marketing that we have been, doing? So personal experience, I saw an ad on Instagram. So social media is something I believe we are targeting as well, right?
Yes, yes. So if at all we see, I think Mr. Yogesh, our chief marketing officer, will be able to put some light onto it. Yogesh, can you answer this?
Yeah, Manoj, thanks for your question. Earlier, we used to focus more on the, if you compare, on the, you know, we had a product first strategy, but right now what we are doing through various platforms, what we are using through digital media or other mediums, is focusing more on the treatment, so that, you know, the treatment comes in the picture, because we want to be known as a treatment first company. So right now the entire marketing, still we are optimizing it, but entire focus is on using social media as well as the other platforms like television and, you know, BTL campaigns around this particular treatment modalities.
All right, sir, that helps. And also, sir, what is the number of, like, you know, the treatment that we have received or inquiries compared to the last year or year, I mean, the same, like, the H1 FY24?
So, if you see, last time, we had, you know, Madhoprash as our prime product, and we used to give, you know, for every Madhoprash, we had a checkup coupon. We used to give it for free of cost. So the free checkup was the campaign, but this time we haven't promoted the, you know, Madhoprash or free checkup campaign. We have focused on the treatment consultation as our, the first this thing. So leads have, like inquiries have not gone down. The inquiries are same around, we have got 1.5 lakh inquiries, 1.6 lakh inquiries, and we have received 33,000 patients who have visited our clinics.
All right, sir. So I guess the impact has been visible. So one last thing, there was some event that happened on Sunday. So if you could give some details on that.
Yes, so I think Dr. Sane is the founder, and he has launched this event. So he'll answer it, because that got a very good success pan-India. So I'll expect Dr. Kane to answer this question.
Right.
So Manoj, yes, this event which was conducted on Sunday, this was on the behalf of the World Diabetes Day that will be celebrated on 14th of November. So we conducted this event on 10th, in which about all these 350 clinics had participated with their patients, in which more than 1,300 diabetic patients who are now free from diabetes because of our treatment in last 90 days. These 1,300 patients had come up to their clinics for this test, in which 75 grams of glucose, 75 gram ki shakkar, these people were supposed to consume. And after consuming 75 grams of glucose, these diabetic patients were supposed to get their blood sugar test done once again after 2 hours of having the 75 grams of glucose. And I'm proud to say that about 75% of those patients have tested to be normal post their treatment of 90 days. And about 10 to 15% patients have seen to be impaired, which will still improve in next about a month or two. So this we have tried to showcase the strength of Madhobagh treatment, that if within 90 days itself, for diabetic patients, we are so strong that we can reverse their diabetes to an extent where even the GTT test can be seen to be normal. So as on the behalf of this World Diabetes Day, we had done this event in which different modern physicians from various different institutes had also joined up for this event, and they recognized our work, and this will help us to showcase our confidence through our doctors as well as through our patients who had participated in this event, and this will help us to boost the total brand value in the patient's mind, which will again help us to have more number of patients in the coming months.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. That actually helps a lot in the analysis. That's it from my side, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Manoj.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Utkarsh Jain from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Yeah, so I just wanted to know what is the occupation that we are having in the H1?
Utkarsh, I can't hear you. Your voice is cracking.
Hi, I'm from Sequent Investments. I just wanted to ask you the average occupancy that we saw in H1 across hospitals.
As of now, this H1 occupancy of Khopoli Hospital was about 80-85%, while the Nagpur Hospital, the occupancy has increased from 60 to about 70-75%. And in Vizag, the Vishakhapatnam, the occupancy has now been about 20%. So that is the overall occupancy of these hospitals.
Vishakhapatnam also 80%, am I right?
No. 20%.
Okay.
It has just began.
New hospital, that's one.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My connection got lost earlier. Sorry if I'm repeating the question. On the hospital side, you wanted to understand the franchisee part. You indicated one is own doctors who want to start their own practice.
Right.
Then apart from that, that's where I got disconnected.
So I'll tell you once again. So you are right that there are few doctors who were practicing with us, and now they want to have their own hospitals. That is one model. The second model is about having hospitals where the infrastructure is already ready with somebody, and it could be a resort, it could be a typical building with good amount of free space with it, where we can have the actual concept of Madhobagh in over there. Such infrastructure, people are ready to have the renovation and all the setup as what is required by Madhobagh. And then we can have a revenue sharing model with them. We'll be calling that as a franchise model itself. So there are two different kinds of franchise models that we are looking out for.
So the management control, the treatment control will be
yours. Yes.
Okay. I thought the franchisee will be responsible for that. Okay. Great.
No.
This is thanks for clarifying this. The second housekeeping question, if you can just highlight or refresh on this professional fees which has come down, what it was, where it is today, variability and why it will come down further.
The professional fees you meant to say?
Yes.
Yes, I'll tell you. Now, there were several professional people like the MD physicians who used to report the stress test and the 2D echo, as well as there were several related to pathology testing. Whatever modern investigations we needed, that was one. Now, we have renegotiated with them. We have tried to have newer partners who have offered us better rates than the earlier. That is one of the reasons for these professional fees to reduce down in the total. That is one. As well, we had renewed few contracts with other professionals, which has helped us to reduce down the professional fees. And I see that if at all now whatever strategy we are going to put in, the revenue as soon as it increases to the expectation what we are looking out, the professional fees percentage will be still more better in the numbers that I am looking out for.
So what it is? Correct. In H1, this number, and how should one look at it?
Again, your voice cracked.
So what is the number in H1, and how should we look at in 26 and 27?
So as of now in H1, this year, we are about professional fees was somewhere about 3 crores in the last 6 months, while earlier year first half it was about 4.5 crore of professional fees in the earlier year.
Half year.
Yes. Okay. So that is where the optimization has gone in, and I am sure that as the turnover increases, the percentage wise figures will improve still more better, because it is almost going to be the same. Somewhere it is going to increase to a certain extent, but not to the level as what we had in the first. Last year,
this should be so. If you can help understand, when do you incur this professional fees? Is it a fixed cost kind of a thing?
I'll tell you. Like for example, we have 2D echo kind of investigations. We have stress test investigations. We have ECG reporting. We have PFT reporting. So these kind of reportings where the modern investigations are supposed to be performed, we need a signature and reporting from the modern physicians. So yeah, due to this integrated model, we are supposed to have, we have a kind of connectivity in between the modern physicians and our Ayurvedic physicians. So this kind of connectivity, what we need, this is where the professional fees comes in place.
So then this would be more of a variable cost, right? Per patient it would be.
Yeah? Yes. Yes, 100%. Yes, you are absolutely right. It's per patient. But when we have renegotiated the rates, the per patient cost has reduced down.
Okay. So in that sense, it is per patient cost, the renegotiation has happened. So now it is more variable in nature.
Yes, yes, it's variable. It's not a fixed cost.
It is not a fixed cost. Okay. And this is done for patients coming at clinic, or it is done for patients who get hospitalized?
Both.
Or in
both.
For
both. Both.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. So one last question, if I can ask, is any thoughts on how are you looking to expand your hospitals in terms of locations? Are you preferring to be closer to the existing locations, or are you looking at completely newer locations to expand?
No, obviously.
How are you selecting the hospital location?
Yes, yes. The first preference for hospital location is going to be a place which is very similar to what we have in our mind, like our Khopoli and the Nagpur hospital. It could be something like a resort which is not working to that extent, which has minimum 50 bed capacity. That would be one that we'll be looking out for. The locations, the geography that we'll be looking out, major will be in the North India as well as in the states of Gujarat or Rajasthan. So this is where we are looking out to expand after Maharashtra for the hospitals.
So my asking is, if I look at your clinic present, concentration is more in
Maharashtra.
Yeah, and apart from Maharashtra, it's not, so your branding is not that established outside Maharashtra for clinics, via clinics also.
Very true, very true. Right? You are right.
That's why I was asking that, how are you ensuring that branding will happen for you when you put this hospitals?
Yes.
As I see, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat and Uttar Pradesh are where you have maximum number of outside market.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely right.
So, as I said, Madhya Pradesh, we are already in talking terms with a doctor who has already approached us. So that is one. About Rajasthan and Gujarat, Gujarat is a very, very potential area for Ayurveda. That is we're looking out for. As well as Rajasthan also is a very potential area because already the Rajasthan government has accredited Ayurveda for their pensioners as well as for the government employees. So there is where we'll be planning to set up ourselves. That will give us a boost in our revenue with that kind of hospital.
And sir, last thing is, which all government agencies you have tied up already, because DDA has a separate procedure of approval, so and so forth. So even in Maharashtra, even in Mumbai, there are different agencies who are at state level, central level, armed forces, for example, have their own accreditation process. So where are we, which all entities are we approaching over the next 12 months for accreditation in this CG type of scheme?
Yes. So we have now started approaching the CGHS, that is one. And in next 4 to 6 months, the application for all these government agencies will be done. So we are now hiring a person in next say, about a month or so. He'll be joining, who will be doing all these things for us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonali Gore, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Sonali.
Yes. So my question was regarding EBITDA. And this time we can see there is a good improvement in the EBITDA margin.
Mm-hmm.
So may I know what led to this positive impact?
Okay, I'll tell you. It has been a combination of 3-4 things. The first one was the HR cost earlier, which was about 27.5% in the last year H1. Now it is somewhere about 24.5% to 25%. Of the HR cost. That is the first difference that we have been seeing. But this will still improve as we go ahead, because once the top line increases, the EBITDA will still improve because of this effect of HR. Second is going to be about the COGS, the cost of goods sold. Earlier when it was about 28 to 29% of COGS, now it has about 22 to 23% of COGS, which has been seen. And this is majorly attributed to the online sale that we used to do in the last year, which attracted higher COGS because that was only product sale. But now when we have product plus services which are being sold through the clinics and the hospitals, so the COGS has reduced down towards 22-23%. So that is the second impact that we could see the improvement. The third improvement in EBITDA is seen because of the professional fees that has reduced from about say 9.5-10% to about 7-7.1%, somewhere to that extent. So that is how these three major things have affected the total EBITDA improvement.
Okay, got it. And so how much more margin improvement can we see going further?
With the numbers increasing in the top line, the EBITDA margins will improve substantially beyond here.
Okay.
Because the HR cost is going to be the same. COGS will vary to somewhere about 22 to 23-24% max.
Okay.
And obviously the professional fees will not vary to such an extent. So that also will not increase to such an extent, as well as the rent and taxes also is going to stay the same. So increase in the top line is going to add directly to the EBITDA.
Okay, understood. Just one more question. What is our revenue contribution from various business divisions?
About 20% odd is from the hospitals, while the rest comes from the clinics.
And can you tell me the EBITDA margins for these each of the business divisions?
Yes. When you talk about hospital, all these hospitals, the EBITDA margins ranges from about 30 to 55% with the occupancy that we had till in this past so many months. But as soon as we have occupancy increasing all over in these three hospitals, the EBITDA margin can go still beyond 50% also in the hospitals. While in the clinics, as of now, the EBITDA margin ranges somewhere from about 5 to 7% or maybe 10% to a certain extent. But as we improve, because these clinics are in the company clinics that we have as of now, are majorly in the other geographies where we have just began, and the branding is still in this process. But when the top line with the clinics also increases, the total gross margin that we have in the clinics is about 70%. So with that kind of gross margin, the EBITDA can still improve. It's just a matter of time and increasing the top line.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Rohit Madhulsani, Chairman and Managing Director from Vaidya Sani Ayurveda Laboratories Limited, for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank you all for taking time out and attending this call. I am also thankful to each member of the Madhubhag family, as well as our clients, patients, banks, investors, financial institutions, and all other stakeholders. For any other queries or information that you need, please get in touch with our investor relations team. So till then, thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Vaidya Sani Ayurveda Laboratories Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.